Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is February 15th, 2018. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most of us don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, prayer request, and or message. Yes, leave your number. People call and you hear them, that it comes to the, and it's just silence. I play back the message. They leave a message. The message is silent. Okay. Leave a message. Leave your phone number. Okay. The phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. And an emergency. My cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find updates of the breaking news, the Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, all on our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. Now, remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally, YouTube live right now, and on some FM stations. So please pray about supporting airtime. Now, let's thank our listener base that is in places like Russia. I won't give the cities because, well, you know how it is in the way I pronounce some things. Anyway, London, United Kingdom, Bangkok, Thailand, Auckland, New Zealand, Vancouver, Canada, and of course cities in the good old United States such as Atlanta, Georgia, Henderson, Nevada, Washington, D.C. I guess that must be the NSA or somebody over there snooping in. I don't know, but there's a large audience over there. El Paso, Texas, and Fresno, California, as well as Wichita, Kansas, which remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, at least when they podcast later on tonight. Now, remember, folks, I'm asking you to also follow us and share us on Twitter. We are at Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch 77. Now, a prayer will bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, the terrible shootings that happened yesterday, Father, I just ask that you comfort all the family and all those who are injured, that you would speed them to a quick recovery. And Father, again, once again, I find myself praying for this nation, Father, and the people into it. I just pray that people come to repentance and come back to you, or come to you in the first place. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father, please bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, tonight we're bringing back on Pastor Carl Gallup. Of course, Pastor Carl is a best-selling author. He's a senior pastor since 1987. He's a radio talk host, most heard nationally and internationally, TV and radio guest commentator. He's a former decorated Florida law enforcement officer. He's a founder of P.P. Simmons News and Ministry Network. He's also a member of the Board of Regents at the University of Mobile in Mobile, Alabama. Carl has written 6 books, and he's about to finish another one soon. The Rabbi Found Messiah, The Magic Man in the Sky, Final Warning, Be Thou Prepared, When the Lion Roars, and his latest is Gods and Thrones. So let's welcome Pastor Carl. You're there with me, Carl.
Pastor Dan, I am here, and I'm honored that you would have me on, even in the midst of this sadness, but maybe we can speak some balance and some truth and some sanity.
Yes, amen. I am really glad to have you back on, and you know, you seem to show up when I blamed this on you before. I'm not blaming it on you, but, you know, however the timing, you seem to come on right after a fairly big event. So anyway,
well, school shooting. All glory to the Lord if He's using me that way. So thank you. But it's always a great privilege to be with you, Pastor Dan. You're a great friend and brother in the Lord.
Well, amen. So school shooting. What do you think about it? It's just all so heartbreaking, and you know, the news media. At least I've been watching Fox. I don't watch the other news media, but it's just heartbreaking. Back to you.
Yeah. Well, you asked me what I think about it. Do we have a three-hour show?
No, but we've got about. We actually have about 45 minutes talking time, depending on how big a mouth I have in the middle.
I know, brother. I'm just messing with you because, man, we could talk about this for hours because the issue is really rather complex. Of course, I am a huge proponent of the Second Amendment in every way. I did spend 10 to almost 11 years in Florida law enforcement, two different sheriff's offices as a uniformed patrol officer and even conducting my own criminal investigations in one of those sheriff's offices. So I have a lot of hands-on experience that way. I've got a lot of ministerial experience with death and tragedy and trauma. And, you know, and sadly, never a school shooting directly, but trauma like this. And the death of kids prematurely. So, yeah, I've got a lot of emotions going right now. But here's the thing. We cannot conduct our life, nor can we develop our laws based upon emotion alone. And there is where Satan plays upon this thing. And there's where the deep state plays upon it, and the leftist, and those who would try to subvert this nation and our culture. Because as soon as something like this happens, while emotions are running high, along comes all of the talk of gun control and when are conservatives going to start caring about mass murder. That's the title of an article I was just seeing. I think I've already not deleted it, but shut it down. Just looking at my computer. It's on Fox News. It's not their title. It's a quote. They're quoting some liberal saying, when will conservatives start to care about mass murder or speaking out against mass murder? Well, what's that supposed to mean? That conservatives love mass murder? That we're in favor of mass murder? I mean, this is the rhetoric. This is the twisting of the words and the rhetoric and emotion and an emotion-filled event. In the meantime, we've got 17 people who've lost their lives. No telling how many others might be wounded for life or even paralyzed for the rest of their life or maybe will still pass. I pray not, but may pass away. That are in hospitals recovering or under surgery for the wounds they receive. So this is horrific. And I know that in the midst of this, sometimes people have questions, you know, why does God allow these things? And, you know, and of course, as horrible as it is, Pastor Dan, the biblical answer is very solid. It's very apparent. It all began in the Garden of Eden. We are spiraling down. We live in a fallen creation among fallen citizens of humanity. All 7+ billion of us are fallen. Every one of us have a sin nature. Evil abounds, but it will not triumph. The end of the book, the Word of God says that God's glory, His kingdom triumphs. The gospel of Jesus Christ triumphs. The Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, He triumphs. He is the soon coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Everything will be made right. Everything will be set right. There will eventually be no more pain, no more death, no more dying. All things will be made new. God will make everything right. But in the meantime, we are living in a fallen world. Death happens, tragedy happens, horrible, ugly, horrific things happen, and always have since the garden and the first murder. And so in the midst of it, we have to minister to each other, love each other. This certainly should give us all a wake up of the perspective of life. Life on this planet is not a bed of roses. It is not paradise yet. We had paradise, but we trashed it. We handed it over to Satan. But paradise is in the process of being restored through the blood of Jesus Christ and will literally be restored one day. So why are we here in the midst of this heartache and turmoil? We're here to be ambassadors for the kingdom. We're here to be the salt, to be the light. We are raised up for such a time as this. And we're living in the most prophetic days, profoundly prophetic days, since the first coming of Jesus Christ. And in the midst of it is a demonic outpouring. And in the midst of it is the prophecies coming to pass that in the last days people's hearts will grow cold and people will despise authority and children will turn against their own families and parents, etc., etc. We're watching this murder and lying and deceit and sexual filth and perversion will prevail according to the Word of God. We're watching that erupt, not just in this event, but in the last 100 years in our own nation, the largest Christian nation on the planet, Pastor Dan, we've talked about this before. 100 years ago, we decided to teach our children that there is no God and we came from monkeys and that there is no final accountability. So why should we be surprised? Why should we act so shocked? Why should we stick our fist in the air and blame God for this when we have been slaughtering our children by 60 million plus in the confines of abortion, when we've been teaching our little ones for generations that we're just nothing but mere glorified, souped-up gorillas and that there is no God, when our own Supreme Court just recently passed a law saying we don't know what a marriage is anymore, we don't know what a family is anymore, we don't even know what genders are anymore, Pastor Dan, we don't know what marriage, home, family, childhood, we don't know what manhood, womanhood is anymore. I mean, you know, you and I know, I'm speaking right rhetorically, but I mean, our culture doesn't. So when these things happen, you know, we seem as though we're shocked. And, of course, there is a shock that goes with this horrific tragedy. You know, our prayers go out to the hurting families and the community that will never be the same again. But in the midst of it, how many times have we seen miracles take place? People come to Christ. People turn back to the Lord. Revivals break out in communities, homes, families, churches that are involved in these things. It wasn't too long ago in a church in Texas, just a little southeast of the capital, I think it was Austin, a church massacred 27 people, over half the congregation massacred as they were starting a worship service, you know. I mean, this is the welcome to our world. So Anyway, I'll start with that. Now, we can get into the whole thing of gun control and how do we respond and what do we do and what should schools do and Florida schools, it's a no-gun zone, and we can talk about that. We can talk about the church that I pastor, the measures we take, the security we have. If we can do that in our church, why can't we do it in schools? I mean, there's so much to talk about, brother, but you asked me what I thought, so I started with that.
Okay, and a good start to it. Amen. There's several different directions. There's one thing I wanted to point out. Came from what you just said. You're talking about Satan and how he deals, you know, and this is one of my biggest prayers when I, you know, we pray for in our messianic thing, Carl, every Friday night, we have a prayer circle and we pray for the children, you know, we sing a little song for them and we pray for the women and then we pray for the men last, because they should always be prayed for last. Anyway. But my point is, when we pray for the women, part of that prayer is always asking the Father to keep the devil away from women's emotion, because I know that's how Satan works, is against a woman's emotion. But you made a connection. The left also does that.
Yes.
Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, it's demonic. I mean, it's demonic. It's a hook. It's a tool that Satan uses. Think of the sins of all right, think of this. In Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, the Word of God says, flee from sexual sin, for example. All other sins are outside of a person's body. You know, this sin affects the body, the soul. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Okay, all right. Why is sexual sin so devastating? Well, because it goes so deep, and it affects so many people continually. It goes down through the generations. Sometimes it can kill us. It can affect our health. Sometimes stuff that we contact during sexual sin can be passed on to our children, literally, physically, not counting the whole spiritual aspect. Now, why do I bring this up? Because how does almost all sexual sin start? By playing upon our emotions, by our heart. Yet the Word of God says that the heart of man is desperately wicked. Now, Satan knows this, Pastor Dan. You've asked a brilliant question. I don't know if I'm giving a brilliant answer or not, but this is a biblical answer. So I hope I speak it in such a way that the Holy Spirit can use it. But Satan knows that our hearts are desperately wicked. And it's out of the seat of the heart where our emotions come. Now, if our emotions, because of the fall, are not wired correctly, what a more brilliant plan of Satan than to play upon our emotions, whether it leads us into sexual perversion and sin, destroying marriage, home, family, children, childhood, manhood, womanhood, or whether it plays upon something like this. So we see this wanton death and destruction. We see it affecting children. We see kids, children killed, and adults and hero coaches and all of this. Our emotions are revved up, and Satan steps right in with, well, we got to disarm everybody. No, that's not the answer. I mean, there are logical, biblical, legal answers that work, but this is a trick of Satan. And it is demonic to play upon our emotions, to pervert the truth of the matter, to cloud our minds, to cloud our judgment, so that we make knee-jerk reactions that ultimately work to our demise. Now, I'm telling you, in Florida, we have concealed weapon permit. We are a must-permit state. That means if you meet the requirements, and the requirements are very few, I mean, you have to be like, I think it's 21, and you know, of a sound mind. You can't have been convicted of some kind of a brutal felony or, you know, stuff like that. But after you pass those tests, they must license you. I've got a concealed weapons permit. Of course, I was a cop for years in Florida.
Right.
It was very easy for me to get, but I carry everywhere I go all the time. And so, but yet, and I've been screaming against this for years. I've been talking to our congressman. I'm on my own radio program, which emanates from Florida. It now has an international audience like yours, but I'm just constantly challenging our lawmakers. How can you say that schools are no gun zones, gun-free
wow.
zones? You know, churches are not. Our homes are not. Our streets are not. When kids come out of the schools, they're surrounded by cops. They're surrounded by citizens. If a kid is in a school where I'm not allowed to come in with my gun, under my jacket, concealed, nobody knows I have it, unless I need it, then they'll be glad I have it. But if that same kid comes out of the school and into my church, they're surrounded by guns. Or if they come into the streets, I'm there. If they come into a convenience store where I am, there's a gun. Cops have guns. Military, we've got a military community all around us, 4 or 5 military bases within a 70-mile radius. But guns everywhere. Well, it's just fine. Well, but yet we put them together in a sardine can called a school where the criminal knows where he can find them. No protection, no guns. Adults don't have guns. Administrators don't have guns. Maybe one officer at this school in Parkland, Florida. It's been now revealed there was a school safety officer, a deputy sheriff, but he never came in contact with the guy. The school is huge. One armed officer. And I'm saying we've got right. way more security than that in our church. And what do
yes.
you mean you don't want guns around our children? What do you mean? As long as the criminals have guns, I do want responsible people with guns around our children. I don't think 17 people would have died in that case, Pastor Dan. Somebody would have, of course. You can't stop it just because
right.
you have guns, but you can surely limit the death and destruction.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the lefts are, I don't know, there was one senator that said that, you know, when the bad guys, if they see that we don't have any guns, they'll just lay their guns down. You know, really? They'll
yeah.
just open fire. And there's another thing that really bugs me. Somebody sent a thing out, I don't know, it was a picture thing, whether it was on Twitter or Facebook or someplace, and they said that 90% of the gun violence would go away if Democrats would just stop shooting people. Well, and so I thought about that. I haven't looked up the actual stats yet, so I'm not saying it's 100%. But looking at it, from what I can remember about the main shooters that I know, I don't recall any of them being conservative. Back to you.
Listen, I have looked at those lists over the years, and almost always, not all of them, but the vast majority, have proven to be registered Democrats and or connected to terrorist groups like ISIS, et cetera. The vast majority. And your listeners can check this out behind us because the stats are out there. I don't remember the last time we heard of a Bible-believing, Jesus-loving, Spirit-filled, church-going Assembly of God or Pentecostal or Baptist or, you know, whatever, walking into schools and churches and just blowing away dozens of people. I don't know that I remember ever hearing anything like that. But what you find, what you find
we'll
is something like this.
We'll put this in also to that equation. It also goes per se to we don't even have to talk about the mass shootings in that sense. If you look at the people that are shooting each other, also, you know, whether it's Chicago or wherever, Baltimore or, you know, many, many Wichita, Kansas, you know, those aren't God fearing people either, and most of those people identify also as either liberal or, you know, Democrat, whatever. And so, what we're seeing here, you know, it's the people without God, basically.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And I mean, and how many times has there been a shooting like this? And the fake news media, of course, they don't get away with it quite as much now because they've been so exposed. But think of the 8 years under Obama. Now again, this isn't necessarily Obama's fault, and I'm not making him to be, you know, the ultimate evil one. Although I think he probably has coffee with the ultimate evil one. But anyway,
anyway,
think of the last 8 years under Obama. Every time there was something like this, the media would almost always either say directly or they would hint or intimate that it was some right-wing conservative, some racist, some white nationalist, some KKK person. And then after the dust settled and the facts came out, because the Internet, brother, I mean, the Internet just kills the fake media, it turned out that it was a leftist or a pure Democrat or some communist or some America hater or somebody connected to terrorism. I mean, brother, this is the narrative. This is how the fake news works.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we got about a minute before, so it's time to tell everybody where they can find your wonderful website that's got previews and things, all your books, it's got great videos, and you can find that where, Carl?
Yeah, you can find it at carlgallups.com. That's my name, carlgallups.com. Thank you so much.
Well, folks, go over and visit Carl, and I'm going to go ahead like I always do when I got somebody on radio talking. I'm going to send a link to his website over to, if you go to prophecyhour.com and you hit the pastor's page, you will find a direct link to his website. Go check him out during break or any other time, and we'll be back in 3 minutes. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, you that listen to us all the time, and you know that I decided, you know, once in a while I'd have my wife on with me, and we had a really good program. Everybody always liked her. And so then I've been praying about it. I said, well, I'll have her on every other week. Everybody likes her. Sounds like a good idea. Okay. Well, some of you know I've been trying to transition over to also put a webcam in, you know, to stream the studio. because, one, I'm being bugged by my producer, Frank, to do that. And, of course, it's a good idea. But I decided that what I'm going to do is every other week we're going to do we're going to have a different program. We're not going to call it Prophecy Hour. We're going to call it Mission Watch like we did for a couple of years. But we're going to change much of the format. It's going to be my wife and I talking. In fact, we did a really good program earlier today. You want to get it? It'll be on a podcast later on tonight. So pray about it. I really want to start off with the right stuff. And so I have a cheap camera, but I would like to be able to replace that camera and get a couple other things. And so, you know, pray about supporting the effort to do this. I would like to real hurriedly. She's not going to be on next week, but the next week. So that means in 2 weeks, I'd like to have the video cam and all that set up. Pray about supporting that. You know, $1,500 or $2,500 would really get us there. But I don't, like I say, I've got an old webcam, and I just don't want to go on haphazard. You know, I like to do things right. So pray about supporting it. And pray about supporting Radio Airtime, because after all, you are listening to this program and have for years. Many, many, many of you have even followed me clear back in 2001 when we first started our radio program. Currently, we've been on this station since I think it was 2004. Anyway, so we've been on radio a very long time. Also, what does radio do? Well, we have an opportunity to warn the world and to comfort the world when things go wrong. And warn, not really warn, that's the wrong word. Announce, celebrate Yeshua's return, because that's what it's all about. All these troubles are going to keep coming and coming and coming upon us, and they'll subside for a while, and then they'll get worse, because it's birth pangs. That's what's going on. And then finally, at the end of it, something wonderful happens. So help us to bring in the return of Yeshua. Pray about supporting airtime, and it also supports the Wichita Mission Church. At the Wichita Mission Church, we're not getting any help from any of the organized churches or government agencies. It's only folks like you that has supported us now that we're getting ready to start our 19th year at the Wichita Mission Church. Been doing this a long time. So pray about it. Anyway, so why do so many people come for us help? Well, love. That's the answer. We treat them like family. We don't treat them badly. We don't treat them like we're an agency. We treat them like family, the people that come in. And that is homeless and poor, folks. Anyway, so pray about it. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. And remember, folks, we are responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, every donation, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. If you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for Radio Airtimes. It's not free, and donations keep us on the air. You can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And now we're back. We've been talking about the school shootings with Pastor Carl Gallup. Are you still with me, Carl?
I'm still here, Pastor Dan. God bless you. Thanks.
There's a couple of things. I got some bad scribbled notes that I like to take this. One, you know, let's talk about the demonic thing. You know, we're in our country is being in the world per se, but looking at our country, I mean, come on, we see so-called feminists, you know, in some cases even protesting nude for feminism, you know, and screaming up at the sky like they're monsters or something. We see women vagina hats on their head. And even in one of the woman's pride thing or whatever parade, we seen men, and excuse me, with plastic penises all over them. But yet this whole group of people wants to talk to us about morality, and let alone the fact, going back, we're on the subject of the school shooting, you know, they want to pass off the buck about it. But to me, this is just, isn't this all demonic? And much of this you talked about in your book, Gods and Thrones, because, you know, it talked about them coming back. And yeah. So you kind of see where my focus is trying to go.
Yeah, I do, brother. I do. And thanks for mentioning that book, because God has really blessed it and is using it to change people's lives. And and just I need to hush because I don't want to act like I'm sound like I'm trying to push the book, but yes, folks, please get that book. It'll explain everything that you're seeing in the news. It'll connect it to Scripture and deep word studies from the Hebrew, from Genesis all the way to Revelation. But you're right, brother. Listen, this stuff in today and the last couple of days, this has all just been one more example before us. And isn't it interesting how, brother, think of the church in Texas. Half the church congregation was wiped out in one shooting. But until I mentioned it tonight, a lot of your listeners, and I'm not disparaging your listeners, this is just the way we are in America, hadn't thought about it in months. They had to be reminded. I mean, because, you know, something as horrific as that happens, but then we go on to the next horrific thing and the next horrific thing, and the news cycle is 24/7, and there's something else, and there's investigations, and there's intrigue, and the Middle East is on fire, and North Korea has nukes, and before long we forget all about that a church in Texas was half the congregation was killed on a Sunday morning in worship. Now along comes this school shooting. Months from now, people will be hard-pressed to remember the name of the city where it was. Of course, the people that are there won't forget it, and many who are on top of it continually won't forget it. But I'm telling you, the vast amount of our population will go on, and the Bible speaks of those days. Jesus says it's going to be like it was in the days of Noah, the days of Lot, the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, and he goes on to say, and that's in Luke 17, he says, and people will just be eating and drinking and giving in marriage right up. What does that mean? That means, well, they just go from one tragedy to another, from one thing to another, because in the days of Noah, the Bible says that people's hearts were wicked and flesh was corrupted, and everything they desired to do, they did, and there was violence on the earth and murder and mayhem and terror, but people just ate and drank and went on with marriage and life and just kind of ignored it right up. And there's a preacher building a ship in his backyard, you know, proclaiming, you know, there's a flood coming, the wrath of God's on the way. Oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. You're an idiot. You're a tinfoil hat wearing fool. You're an old Bible thumper. Okay. And Jesus said, look, it's going to be just like that. Just like that. And, of course, the Bible does speak of a demonic outpouring in the last days. Look, Paul tells Timothy, he says, look, the Spirit clearly says that in the last days, that there will be a, and I'm paraphrasing now, but he says there will be a demonic infiltration of the churches. There will be a demonic outpouring, and that even the Word of God will be perverted. Doctrine will be, doctrines of demons will be replaced. And, brother, look at the major denominations that have gone down the road of pro-gay marriage, pro-transsexualism, pro-homosexual movement. For example, think of the mainstream denominations that used to be mainstream have gone down the road of pro-evolution, mixing and melding evolution, the lie that we came from souped-up gorillas. Brother, that's doctrines of demons. And,
yeah.
And in the largest Christian nation the planet has ever seen, it's happening. We are living in those days of demonic outpouring. And look, there's always been a demonic deluge ever since the Garden of Eden, ever since the flood. But we're the first generation to live in the days on the other side of the return of Israel and during the days of the invention of a little thing called the Internet, where we now have worldwide, global information, communication, transportation technologies, and the demonic realm. They have their own stage now. I mean, television, videos, internet, cell phones. It's instantaneous, and it goes around the world. I mean, this is the first generation that's ever seen a U.S. president, and yes, it happens to be Donald Trump, but it could have been anyone, a U.S. president that witches around the world now connect instantaneously, and they do occultic rituals aimed at some kind of a hex or a curse upon Donald Trump, and it's done once a month globally. I mean, that's never been possible before. So the demonic have a platform like never before. This is spiritual. It is demonic. It is perverse, and we're watching it unfold before our eyes. And this school shooting is one more illustration of that perversion, that demonic outpouring, And it's also an illustration, brother, of how precious and sweet and delicate and short life is. None of us has a guarantee of another day. Not a single one of us. And we must be ready to meet our Maker at any time.
Amen. I've got a couple of questions, and actually they're going to be about your church. This is a twofold question, so to speak. One, we sit here and talk about this, and it to me it just seems so apparent, and my wife was upset that we didn't get to it in the first program, because she pointed out all the vagina hats and all those things. Seeing all those people act in that demonic kind of nature, it really amazes me. And I'll get the second part of this out, and then I'll let you answer it however you want to. Yeah. But it amazes me how, mainstream, you're not really hearing, unless you go on talk radio or something, you're really not hearing a lot of screaming from the church about all of this that I would think that you would hear, or from just what we would call normal people, because they're almost taking that as norm. So my question is one, I bet your church is informed. But then my second part of my question is this. You mentioned guns in your church, and I totally agree with you. But, I know some Christian pastors that I could talk to right now that would say, oh, guns in the church, that's totally wrong. That's where I'm at. How do you handle those two things? And it's about your church.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Guns in the church, you got me all fired up about that. So what was the first one? Remind me. I was ready to answer that, then you asked another one.
Okay, how does your church aware of the things we're talking about because they have a pastor like you, right?
Well, thank you. You're so kind. Yes, my church, believe it or not, is very aware of these things. I preach them, I teach them, I often pull headlines right out of the news, bring it right into the pulpit, grab it right into biblical principles and use it as a teachable moment, almost parabolic like Jesus would do, not comparing myself to Jesus, but just he would do that. He would take real life situations like farmers sowing in their fields or owners of vineyards and hiring workers and all of those things. He would take real life part of people's lives, and then he would turn them into teachable moments of deep spiritual truth. So I do that all the time, all the time. And, preachers that are afraid to, quote, preach politics or bring the headlines into the pulpit, because they're afraid it'll be politically incorrect, the easiest way to do that is to take a headline like this, for example, bring it in, and then read some of the ludicrous titles about gun control and, if we just took away all the guns, everything would be wonderful. Well, brother, you don't have to get into the politics of gun control. You can just read those headline titles and go straight to the scriptures. There are all kinds of messages that have to do with our walk with the Lord and the evil that is among us and the demonic outpouring and the lies and the deception and the biblical responsibility of providing for your family. Providing for your family also means protecting them and protecting the house of God. I mean, brother, now segueing into the second one, so people that say, well, we shouldn't have guns in church. Well, look. I kind of agree. I don't want people necessarily, I don't want 400 people with a gun strapped on their hip out in front of everybody necessarily during a worship service. But on the other hand, what's wrong with hiring police officers, deputy sheriffs? I mean, a lot of sheriff's offices do that. Have them out front. We do. We've got a patrol car with his lights on. He's kind of directing traffic, but he's armed. He's got access to his radio. If something happened, he could instantly, we don't have to call 911. We've got a cop there. There's at least that. Concealed carry by trained people. Most churches have ex-military or ex-law enforcement or retired folks. Most churches have abilities to at least put up video cameras, to have unarmed people who patrol the buildings, just kind of check empty rooms, make sure doors are locked down after the services start, manning the foyer, manning the door. I mean, you could go on and on. Have people patrolling the parking lots with walkie-talkies if they don't want to carry guns, that's fine. But I'm saying, as I believe you probably agree, that nowadays there's nothing wrong, there's nothing unbiblical, and it's smart in our world, in our culture, to have access somehow, whatever protocol you want to have, to be able to defend yourself. Because here's the thing, Pastor Dan. Now, I'm not going to reveal our security protocol here on your international show, but our protocol at our church we've had in place for decades, and we're constantly upgrading with technology. But we have the latest, greatest technology, plus the armed, uniformed, in their automobile, official law enforcement, plus an entire security system of security people who have security badges, others that are not identified, some that are armed, some that are not armed, et cetera, on and on I could go. Panic buttons, panic alarms, video cameras, people watching the video banks during worship services, et cetera. We've got all of that and much more. Almost any church can do some mixture of that. Because here's the thing. Even with our church, with all that security, we're probably the safest place any of our church members can be on a Sunday morning, including their own homes. I guarantee you, no church member has a deputy sheriff sitting out front in their yard with the lights going on the patrol car, right? So, not counting all the videos and the panic alarms and everything else we've got. So it's probably the safest place anybody could be, but here's the deal. That does not guarantee that some fool, some deranged, demonic idiot won't come into our service and start an active shooter situation. But what it's like, I tell my people, but I can guarantee you this. If that happens, and I pray to God it never does, but I can guarantee you this, we will not be sitting ducks, and that guy will not leave alive. So if he has a death wish, then I guess so. But that's the deal, is that we need to make sure that we're not sitting ducks, brother. That's the deal.
Yeah, amen. There is too, you know what, there has been too long that, you know, people try to put a stigma on many Christians, that whether it says, well, you have to help me because you're a Christian, or, you know, they say things, well, you know, you can't do anything because you're a Christian, you can't even sue me, so on and so forth. They want us to believe through their own rhetoric that somehow we have to be just passive and sit down and just take it. Well, that's wrong. And I will also say that you pastors out there and you people, you folks need to know that you are responsible for those that they're under your care. And we have a right to defend ourselves no matter where we're at. And Carl, you know, that's where I want the church to be safe, people to come in. That's the point. They want to come in and feel God's love and feel safe. So, you know, you have to make it that way. I believe it's your responsibility as well as mine.
Yeah.
On another hand, too, most of these people, you talk about the police car or sheriff's car out front, most of them, simply knowing all that is going on or the sheriff out there, is enough deterrent, would scare them right away, because most of them are cowards. Back to you.
Yeah. Well, let me just say, if somebody's afraid to come to church because we have an officer out front directing traffic in a high traffic area with a lot of kids and a large congregation, then shame on them. I mean, there's plenty of other churches where you can go where they don't care about your children or your safety. Well, they care, but what I mean is they're not taking any steps, and maybe they don't care. Maybe the leadership is of a more liberal bent, or they're more brainwashed. And here's the thing. If you and your family were to come to my church on a Sunday morning, the only visible sign you would see of, quote, security would be that uniformed officer in his patrol car with the blue lights flashing out at the street where people cross over in the crosswalks and directing traffic and kind of just overlooking the safety of people. What's wrong with that? That's what cops do. We want cops in our culture and society. We've got a large piece of property and on a major road, and so, you know, but once you entered into our property, brother, you would have no clue. It's not like a police state. You it's nothing but church and worship and spirit-filled people and friendliness and family and children running everywhere and teenagers and people from, you know, from 90 years old down to newborn children. And it's a big old family, and it's sweet, and the worship is powerful, and the preaching's best in the world, and you know,
well, maybe you ought to give me that guy's number so I can get him on radio. You know, man, it sounds like a good guess.
He is. It's some imaginary guy I've got in my mind. But here's the thing. But here's the thing, brother. That's what you would see. But what you don't see, and what you wouldn't know, is that we've got whole teams of people that are ready to react to protect you and your family if something horrific happened. We've got strobe lights up and positioned so that if a certain strobe light goes off, we know where danger, a panic button, has been pushed in various areas of our church. We've got video cameras in all the public places. We've got people who sit at a bank of video cameras in two or three different offices, scanning the whole buildings by video and the outside. We've got people driving around in golf carts in the parking lot while they're picking people up and helping them get into the church. Some of those people are armed, some are not, but they're all perusing and viewing the parking lot. And after we get people in church, we've got people that lock doors. Now, you can go out of our doors if there was a fire, but you can't just come in. And right. We've got people in the foyers. We lock down the rest of our buildings. Then we've got another crew, and you would never know this, that while you're in church, they're out in the parking lot looking out for your car. And they're in the buildings checking all of our empty rooms and checking doors and locking outside doors. And they're going into closets up and down the halls and empty rooms to make sure no one's hiding in there or nothing's happening in there that shouldn't happen. Now, you don't know any of that. You don't know that. There are people that are armed. There are law enforcement officers that are off duty, ex-military, ex-law enforcement officers that are completely legal, and they are armed and concealed, and they know the protocol if something happens in certain areas of our buildings, where they are to go, what they are to do, and how they are to respond. But you wouldn't know that. You're just in a great church, but you are protected. Now, does that mean nothing bad would ever happen to you there? No. But it does mean if something bad does break out, you are in the safest place you could be, and you are not a sitting duck. And that's what pastors are responsible for that. Let me tell you something, brother. There have been lawsuits where churches have lost and have paid millions of dollars and have had to close their church doors because something terrible happened at the church, and members sued because they said we had a reasonable expectation of some kind of safety. This thing is open to the public. We're crammed into a building, into a worship center, and you provided no security, no safety. Nobody even called 911. And the courts have ruled that churches have a reasonable responsibility to provide a reasonable measure of security because it is a public, well, it's open to the public. And I'm telling you, the pastors can sit around and try to play all liberal on this if they want. Number one, they have a biblical responsibility to protect the innocent. And number two, even the law has ruled that if you do nothing to provide reasonable security, and this happens, something like this happens among your people, you can lose everything.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's a lot of naysayers out there, you know, in the Christian world that say, oh, well, you shouldn't have a gun. You shouldn't prepare because, you know, isn't that, you know, you're going against God. God will take care of you. Well, to me, face an actual word, he'll warn you and tell you, make you aware of the situation. Yeah. But Noah still had to build the ark, didn't he?
Well, let me just tell you. First of all, I've written another book called Be Thou Prepared, Equipping the Church for Persecution in Times of Trouble, and I deal with all of those arguments. But very quickly, let me just say this. When people have said that to me, don't worry, God will take care of you, I look at them and I smile and I say, okay, do you believe that? Yes, I believe that. That's the word of God. I say, okay, sit down for a minute. I want to ask you some questions. You look me in the eye and you answer me honestly. Do you buckle up when you get in your car? Do you buckle your children in? Do you lock your doors at night? Do you have fire extinguishers? Do you have burglar alarms? Do you have a firearm anywhere in your car, on your home? Do you give your children cell phones so that you can check on them during the day? Do you have family rules about safety? Do you go grocery shopping? And they'll say, what do you mean by that? I say, well, why don't you just let God take care of you? Why do you go to the store? Why don't you just, your food will show up on your doorstep, right? I mean, do you brush your teeth? I mean, God will take care of you. Don't brush your teeth anymore. You know, do you get flu vaccinations, or do you take your kids to the doctor when they're deathly ill? Don't do that. Just don't do any of that. Just leave your doors open. Leave your keys in your car. Do you give everybody your bank account numbers?
Well, great
no,
answer,
because
bro.
That's stupid. No, God will take care of you. Don't worry about it. see,
Carl, that's a wonderful answer, but I got to break in. We got like about 30 seconds to say goodbye. But that was a great, great answer, and I'm going to have to remember that. But anyway, say goodbye. Tell them your website, and we'll talk again.
Okay, thank you for having me, Pastor Dan. CarlGallups.com, CarlGallups, CarlGallups.com. Thank you, brother.
All right, thanks, brother, for being on. You be blessed. Bye-bye.
Yes, sir, you too.
Okay, folks, now that's Pastor Carl Gallups. Go check him out, carlgallups.com. The link's over there on the pastor's page. But remember, there is only one God, and he is who? He's your father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for your repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the word of the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a what? A blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, folks. That's like, that is praying for Messiah's return. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, you would please bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next week, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.